Father, we thank you today. We thank you that though this is a story that happened long ago in another place in another land, that the reality of this story is basically right here, right now, available for each and every one of us, because this is a story about a far larger principle than just a boy and a warrior from the Philistine army. Lord, we pray today, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear what you will tell us by your Holy Spirit. Open our ears as your people. Give us ears to hear and to listen what you are saying to us individually concerning certain things and certain areas where we can have victory. So, Lord, I just pray today, take your word, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to see beyond the surface here to what you are actually telling us today. And above all, help us to understand that the same principle by which you worked in David is the same principle by which you desire to be working in each of us every single day of our lives here on this earth. So, Lord, open our hearts to hear. Open our hearts to understand. And give us a heart to follow in the roadmap you have given us. These are the things we ask. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I know you have probably heard this story many times. You know, it's easy to read a little story like this, read it two or three times, and say, oh yeah, I know that story. I know every detail of that story. Let's go on to the next story. But this is a story that fascinates me. And every time I come back to this story, it just like, I just keep it, well, I really need this lesson. And that's the thing about a lot of lessons. There are a lot of lessons we need to learn over and over. There are a lot of lessons we need to hear again. How many have been here in Sunday school more than, say, 20 years? Huh? We got quite a few. So there are certain lessons you've probably heard more than once, right? But there are certain lessons that we need to hear over and over again. And some of the lessons, this is a chapter I would go to regularly. Just like I would go to Romans chapter 8 regularly, I would go to this chapter regularly. Because this is a chapter about a whole lot more than a little shepherd boy and about a Philistine. And so I just hope today, we're just going to touch on just a few of the points. But I just hope, it might be an interesting subject for Father's Day, but let me tell you something. The Lord has called every dad to be a spiritual warrior. And one of your main jobs as a dad is to be a spiritual warrior. We have a lot of dads today that are not spiritual warriors. They're good dads, and they're providers, and they're a whole lot of things, but they are not spiritual warriors. And they are not, you know, taking the battle to the enemy where it needs to be taken. So I hope the Lord will speak to us today. And this is for all of us, but this is particularly for dads. And we all fight battles. How many here fight battles sometimes? Maybe you're not out there, you know, with the sword and the spear that way, but we all fight battles. And not only that, but there was a movie, I think, a few years back, Facing the Giants, but how many have ever faced a giant? You see, a giant is just something that's bigger than I am. When the people were supposed to go in and take the land of Israel, 10 of the spies came back and said, we can't conquer that land. Those people are giants. They're bigger than we are. Why? We look like grasshoppers next to them. And we look like ants to them. We can't go and take that land. And so here it is all these years later, and Israel is settled in the land and all that, and now they said, we want a king. They told Samuel, we want a king. We're tired of having these judges. We want a king like other nations. We want a king so he can lead us into battle. Yeah, some battle. They have their king. They have Saul. And when this Philistine gets out there and stands in the valley between the two mountains, and his voice is booming, and he would be their version of today's professional wrestler, and he's out there, and, "I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man, and we'll tangle one on one. There's no need for the two armies to engage. We can settle this in one man-to-man confrontation." And what are all the Israelites doing in Saul? They're trembling and hiding under their cots. And unfortunately, that's the picture of a lot of Christians today. And how many would agree that there are many enemies and they are numerous and that sometimes they look pretty formidable? So I just want us to know today just a few facts here. We are just skimming the surface. But if you're one of those who likes to do the notes and all of that, now would be the time. Just a few observations here about this story. Because I think we pretty much know the story. David is sent by his dad to take some supplies to his brothers. He's back taking the sheep. Three of his older brothers have been conscripted and are down there in Saul's army. And when he arrives, Goliath comes out and David starts asking, "Who's that?" And they're like, "Well, it's this and it's that." And he's like, "Who does this Philistine think he is that he can defy the armies of Israel? I'll fight him." Say, "Huh?" And they take him to Saul, and Saul's like, "You little old boy, you can't fight him. He's been fighting all his life." David say, "Hey, I took down a lion, and I took down a bear. I think I can take him down." And Saul says, "Well, go for it, buddy. God be with you. Here's my armor." David's never tried on anything like that in his life. He tries that stuff on. He's clunking around. He can't even hardly stand up. He said, "Man, I can't use this stuff. Just let me be me." And he goes down and on the way crosses a brook, picks up 5 little stones, sticks them in that shepherd's pouch, goes out to meet old Goliath, and Goliath is insulted. He said, "What do you think I am coming against me with little old sticks and stuff?" And he's cursing him by his gods. And then we just read what David answered him. And a few minutes later, Goliath was on the ground and David was chopping his head off with his own sword. And that's the kind of victory the Lord wants for you and me. Battle ain't pretty, but listen, spiritual warfare is just as real as this other warfare. Today we don't want to see none of the pictures. It's too ugly. Warfare gets ugly. Spiritual warfare is ugly. But God wants victory for you and me. And you're in the battle whether you like it or not. So you may as well get ready to win. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
All right. Enough of that. Number one. Just simple observation. Nothing we don't know. Goliath was a bully! And that's what the giants in your life are right now. What are you facing that you're having trouble with? What are you facing right now that's bigger than you? What in your life has you intimidated and has you afraid and wondering what the next step might be? Goliath was a bully. And the giant in your life is a bully. Because that's how the enemy operates. The enemy has always operated through intimidation. And he comes out and he has this big old show. And there's a whole lot of people right now that are so intimidated by the world, they don't even know what to do. And as Christians, they're figuratively hiding under their cots right now. Because society at large seems like a giant and it seems like the other side is winning and it seems like there's nothing we can do. Or there's some personal thing in our life we don't have any control over. There's some family problem. There's some other thing going on. And it just seems so big and we don't know what to do. And so in a way, we're almost already feeling defeated. And we're already like we pray a little bit, but it's like we don't even know what to say. And we don't think God can do anything about it. And the old enemy has us right where Goliath had the Israelite army at that time. And that is not where the Lord wants you and me. But oh, he looked so impressive. Number two, Goliath was single-handedly able to intimidate and paralyze an entire army for over a month through the time-tested instrument of fear. How many know that fear is a paralyzing thing? Fear will get you so paralyzed, you don't know what to do next. So instead of doing, you're like, I don't know what to do, so I'll just freeze. We'd say that, right? They just freeze up. They just froze up. And that might be you or me. We just freeze up. And the old enemy, hey, he loves that. If he can get us all frozen, hey, he's got us. He had them for 40 days. And if David hadn't shown up, they might still be out there. I don't know. Thank God David showed up. How long would this have gone on? The enemy will bully you. How long will he bully you? As long as you put up with that. Number three. David was able to defeat the giant because, all right, fill in whatever you got, because he was a more experienced warrior. Because he was older than all of them. David was able to defeat the giant because he thought differently. To put it simply, he knew the truth. He knew something that the rest of the Israelite army should have known but didn't know, and that is that God is bigger than Goliath. And that God could work in him to bring down Goliath. And nobody else knew this. Why in the people of God don't the people know this? We say our God is great, and then we live like he's a little old mouse. One time, Martin Luther, as great a man as he was, and a man of faith, and mighty fortresses our God, and all this, and yet one morning his wife comes down dressed in mourning clothes, in black. He says, who died? She said, God died. He said, woman, that's blasphemy. Don't talk like that. She said, well, he must have died the way you've been acting the last few days. And he got the point. When you catch yourself thinking that way, you need to shake yourself. Hey, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And God is greater and his word is still true. I don't care what Goliath looked at. I tell you what. Well, let's go on. This is number one. The truth is, what is the truth? David knew the truth. Truth number one. Goliath's taunts were actually directed against God. Did you know that when the enemy attacks you as a believer, that it's really because he's mad at God and that it's God he's trying to get at? This is spiritual warfare. And when the enemy attacks you, he's really, he hates God, so he hates anybody that serves God. So don't take it too personally. He's an equal opportunity attacker. And the closer you are to the Lord, and the more you love the Lord, and the more you're in the Word, and the more you're witnessing, and the more you're living like you should, the more he's going to attack you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. If you're only showing up for church and warming a bench, and pretty much running with the crowd the rest of the week, guess what? The old enemy ain't going to bother you too much. But his taunts were actually against God, and David knew it. He says, who does he think? He's defying the armies of the God of Israel. He can't do that. Hello? Number two, Goliath's threats were groundless. The truth is that Goliath's threats were groundless because he was actually without backing or support. In fact, he was already as good as defeated because, and this is key, the Lord was against him. So he was 9 feet tall. So he had a javelin so big, you and I would be grunting just to try to pick it up off of the ground. He didn't have any backing. The Lord was against him because he was an enemy of the people of God. And David understood this, and for some reason the rest of the army didn't understand it. I heard a story one time, said a man had a leg, needed to be amputated. He went to the hospital. They amputated the good leg instead of the bad one. And then they had to go back and take the bad one. And he sued and lost. They said he didn't have a leg to stand on. Goliath didn't have a leg to stand on. Spiritually speaking, and David knew it. Number three, man-made armor was useless in this fight. In reality, it would only hold David back. You see, if there was anything that Goliath wanted, he wanted them to approach him on his own terms. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. And so when we have a big problem we're facing, we try to do all the usual things. That's wrong. Because the problem indeed may be bigger than I am. Goliath really was bigger than David. He really had been, was a battle-hardened warrior for many, many years. See, the thing that gave David the victory was he knew the truth, number one, and number two, he didn't meet the enemy on his own terms. Never meet the enemy on their own terms. The devil is sort of the king of the domain in the natural realm. This is not false teaching. John said in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world, I read it again this week in the Greek, the whole cosmos lies in the evil one. My God is the God of the supernatural. And he intervenes in the natural realm through the supernatural. Did you know that when you pray, you are entering the realm of the supernatural because you are praying to the supernatural God who can intervene supernaturally in the natural scene. And when he does, how many have ever seen a prayer answered? That's the unseen supernatural realm. And when you direct your prayer, you're bypassing Goliath, the Philistine army, and whatever else may be out there. You're in communication with him, and he'll begin to direct you and tell you what to do. It may be unorthodox, and the rest of the world may think it'll never work, which was the case with David. You can't fight him. Because there's a lot of natural-minded people out there. But David said, hey, my God will be with me. He's been with me before. He drew on past experience. Has the Lord ever been with you before? Then he'll be with you this time. See, David knew all this stuff, and he was just a teenager. He knew more than some middle-aged Christians. But man-made, you say, well, here that shepherd's pouch was man-made, and the stone, was the stone man-made? Well, it wasn't necessarily man-made. It was of the natural realm. But see, it was the approach. It was the approach. It was the method. It was the way that David approached him. What I'm saying is, you couldn't meet, when I say man-made armor, I mean, David couldn't use Saul's armor. David couldn't go out there and fight Goliath the way everybody else was telling him. And he certainly couldn't go out and fight Goliath man to man the normal way because it wouldn't work. So he did it God's way. And he simply drew on his experience as a shepherd And he noticed that Goliath was covered with armor head to foot and that he only had one vulnerable spot. How many vulnerable spots does it take? Just one. And I don't care how impressive old Goliath looks. There's a vulnerable spot somewhere. And through prayer, you can probably find it. Four. God would work through David's existing abilities and preparedness to engage the giant. He didn't have to become Saul to defeat the giant. He didn't have to take a crash 6-week course in Israeli battle strategies in order to take on Goliath. He already had what he needed. That and his faith in the Lord. Because the Lord had prepared him through being a shepherd. If there's anything David knew how to use, it was a sling. I saw some footage not long ago of some Palestinian boys using those slings. And I was thinking, how ironic, they're still using them in that part of the world. That little old stone turns into a missile. All right, let's wrap this up. Three little things to be defeated. Goliath had to be, number one, confronted personally and directly. So you got a giant. You want mom and dad to face that giant for you. You want your friends and neighbors. You want the other people at South Norfolk Christian Church. It's fine to have other people praying with you. And I'm sure the best wishes and everything of the Israeli army were behind David as he went out there. But nobody could face down that giant that day except David. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it. If you're a daddy, and this is some kind of spiritual struggle here, you've got to face him. Or whoever you are, whatever it is. Hubby can't do it for you. You can't get somebody else to fight your battle. This is your giant. And it's going to have to be you. And you're going to have to face this giant. You can't hide. You can't deny. Because it'll just go on and on. At some point, you got to stand up and find out if your faith is strong enough in the Lord that you can take this giant on. And if not, pray until you are. But he had to be confronted personally and directly. Number two, he had to be engaged at close range. David couldn't stand over on the mountain. Now, today they do that. They stand on opposite mountains and shoot at each other. In Afghanistan and other places. But in this battle, you couldn't do this. This is person to person, hand to hand. And spiritual warfare is still that way. So, he had to be engaged at close range. And thirdly, and this is extremely important, he had to be approached in the name of the Lord of hosts. I want to read this to you one last time. Listen to David. Listen to the teenage boy. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," when? "This day, The Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And what will happen? The whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. Shame that it takes one little shepherd boy to demonstrate to God's own people that there's a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know. Didn't they know before? But they're going to know as never before because of what they see God do through one person with some courage and faith. There are people out there wanting to know if this Christianity stuff is real, if it really works. Let God work in your life and let them see God glorified and they'll acknowledge, hey, there is something to this and that's what I want. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear. Is it by sword and spear? It is not by sword and spear that the Lord saves or delivers. For the battle is the Lord's and He will give all of you into our hands. One verse the Lord has used in my life over and over again. It is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You cannot fight a spiritual battle using natural means. You can try it, and you will fall on your face every single time. And even if it appears to be something of this natural realm, that does not mean that our God is not able to intervene in it. And basically, every time there's an answered prayer, that is what is happening. God is intervening supernaturally in what may be a natural situation. And it is through prayer, more than anything else, that the enemy is brought down. Lisa Keenan has this thing, and many of you have heard it, but she repeated it again recently. Push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. And folks, it is still the most powerful weapon in our arsenal. Now here's the closing thought. And there is one blank there, I think. It only took how many? One well-directed stone to bring the giant down. And then I put in parentheses, prayer. One well-directed prayer. Let me ask you something. You got a powerful weapon in your hand, some kind of M16. You got some kind of real powerful weapon. Is it any good if you don't aim it? I do watch a movie every now and then. And I notice that in these stories, when somebody's going to do a sniper job or something, before they pull the trigger, you know what they're doing? They're looking through the sights until they zero right in on it. And then they pull that trigger. And that's the way our prayers need to be. One well-directed prayer, or prayer over time in one well-directed area, will do more, probably to bring down the giant, than all of the other things that we do. Now, indeed, the Lord may direct us to take this action, that action, the other action. If He directs us to do that, then fine. But I'm here to tell you today, God is still God. Amen? The bully is still out there and he's still bullying. He's big. He's impressive. He's loud. He's arrogant. He's defiant. He will try to overshadow you, overpower you, and get you so coward you do not know what to do. And I'm just here to tell you, saint of God, don't let him do it. Remember David. Go back and read about David and do what David did. Because if you follow the same pattern David did, the same God will work in the same way. He came against Goliath in how? In the name of the Lord of hosts. Who is the most powerful name in heaven and in earth? The name of Jesus. That's our name. And that's how we'll win. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today and we just, Lord, I just pray you'll take this message. I pray you'll take it and use it in our hearts. I don't know where everybody is today. I don't know who's facing stuff that's bigger than they are. I don't know what the history of it is. I don't know how long it's been going on. I just know that you have the answer. You have the solution. But Lord, help us to look to you and not to others. Instead of listening to everything everybody else is telling us, let's get in your word where we know what you had to say about it. And that we can see that old giant for what he is, spiritually speaking. He's just a paper tiger. Because in your power and in your authority, there is victory. Let us claim that victory in the name of Jesus. Let us be bold to claim it and continue to claim it until we see you work the work and bring the deliverance. But I know this, you never want your people to live in a state where they're intimidated and where they are not exercising their authority as the people of God. Lord, teach us today, in this day of so many challenges and so many things that are going on, that you are still the same God, and that, to put it in the words of that song, what you have done for others, he will do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. What he's done for others, he'll do for me today. Lord, build our faith. Give us focus. And above all, let us know who our enemy is, but let us know he's a defeated enemy, because we're coming against him in your name. That our enemy would not be able to steal our children. That our enemy would not be able to wreak havoc in our homes. That our enemy would not be able to get by with these things, because we are standing on the promises of God. Teach us this. Ingrain it in us, Lord, until that is really who we are to our very core. I ask this for myself. I ask this for every true believer in this congregation. And for any who do not know you, that once they know you, this will be the case with them as well. Equip us for warfare and make us unafraid to face our giant in your name. That's my prayer today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.